Our reading this morning is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, starting at verse 21. Jesus predicts his death. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." This is the word of the Lord.
Morning. Going to be looking at that passage that I read for us in a minute, but before we do that, let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that we are able to meet together to worship you this morning. Thank you for being with us and working among us. We pray that you would speak to us through your word and help us to become more like you want us to be, so that we can glorify you in our lives. Amen. Amen. So I want to start with a story that Nikki Gumbel tells in the Alpha course, so you may have heard it before. It's about a young policeman doing his final exams, and he goes into the exam hall and turns the paper over. And the first few questions are okay, and then he gets to question four. And question four describes the situation he may face as a policeman. And it went like this. "You're on a patrol when an explosion occurs in a gas main in a nearby street, and you find a large hole has been blown in the footpath. There's an overturned van lying nearby. Inside the van, there's a strong smell of alcohol, and both occupants, a man and a woman, are injured. You recognise the woman as the wife of your divisional inspector, who is at present away in the United States. A passing motorist stops to offer assistance, and you realise he's a young man wanted for armed robbery. Suddenly, another man runs out of a nearby house, shouting that his wife is expecting a baby, and the shock of the explosion has made the birth imminent. Another man is crying for help, having been blown into a nearby canal by the explosion, and he can't swim. Describe in a few words what action you would take." The policeman thought for a moment, then picked up his pen and wrote, "I would take my uniform off and mingle with the crowd." So I'm pretty sure that's not the answer they were looking for, and it won't have done his career much good. But it is tempting to take the easy way out when faced with a difficult choice. And in this passage, we see Jesus being faced with a difficult choice, and we see the disciples being faced with a difficult choice, but actually we're all faced with the same choice they had to make. So let's start by thinking about Jesus' choice. If you were here last week, you will have heard John explaining what happened immediately before today's passage. Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter replied, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus responded by saying, "Blessed are you, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Amazing stuff, really exciting, the climax of the gospel so far. So now, the disciples would have been expecting Jesus to announce his strategy. He'd probably say they were going to march on Jerusalem, gather supporters on the way, fight a battle, take over the temple, and Jesus would install himself as king. But instead, Jesus tells them that he is going to Jerusalem, but he's going to suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed. Definitely not what the disciples were expecting to hear. Jesus' words didn't make any sense. He just claimed to be Messiah, and now he was saying he was going to die. No way could that be right. A few years ago, John and I watched a TV series called The Last Kingdom, which was set at the time of the Vikings. And right at the start of the first episode, there was a battle. And the character played by the only famous actor in the programme was killed when a sword went right through him. And we just sat shocked. We thought, that can't happen. And that's what the disciples would have felt when Jesus said he was going to suffer and die. That can't happen. And Peter was so horrified that he took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "This shall never happen to you." But Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." What a contrast. Last time we heard Jesus talking to Peter, he said he was blessed because the Father had revealed to him that Jesus was Messiah. He'd said that he was the rock he'd build the church on. And now he's saying that Peter's doing Satan's job for him, and that instead of being a rock to build the church on, he's acting as a stumbling block for Jesus. And that's a pretty strong reaction from Jesus, isn't it? The thing is that Jesus had a difficult choice to make. On the one hand, he knew that if he was to fulfill the scripture, fulfill his role as Messiah, obey the Father's will, show his love for us, he had to suffer and die. But on the other hand, he didn't want to suffer, and the temptation was to take the easy way out and avoid the cross. And we see right at the start of his ministry how the devil tempted him to do exactly that and to accept a quick, painless way to glory. And we know that Jesus resisted that temptation, but it was a temptation that he would have faced his whole life, because the devil was desperate to ruin God's plan for salvation, and he never gave up. And now here's Peter doing Satan's work for him, tempting Jesus to avoid suffering. And Jesus did have the choice about whether or not to suffer, because he wasn't a helpless victim of the Jews or the Romans. He wasn't just caught up in events that led to his death. At any point, he could have opted out of the suffering. Remember when he was arrested in Gethsemane, he said, "Do you think that I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But then how would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it would happen in this way?" And even when Jesus was on the cross, people were shouting, "Come down from the cross if you're the Son of God." And he could have. But instead, he chose to die on the cross because of his obedience to the Father and his love for us. And it's only because Jesus made that choice and died for us that we have the chance to be forgiven and accepted by God. It's only because he died for us that we have the chance of salvation and eternal life with God. And that's wonderful, isn't it? But forgiveness is not automatic. If we're to benefit from Jesus' choice, we need to make a choice too, and we need to choose to follow him. But before we make that choice, we need to know what it entails. I don't know about you, but I've been caught so many times when I've been trying to submit a form online and it hasn't been accepted. And eventually I've realised it's because I haven't ticked that annoying little box that says I've read the terms and conditions. And I usually haven't read them actually, but we do need to think about the terms and conditions of being a disciple. And Jesus spells it out for us. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. If you've never thought about following Jesus, you need to think carefully about these words. But even if we've been following Jesus for years, we need to remind ourselves about what it means to be disciples and to make sure we're still on the right track. I was really challenged by something I read recently, which said, beware as you get older of settling down in the Christian life. Or to put it another way, beware of a Christian faith that costs you very little. If it doesn't cost very much, it's probably not worth very much. So let's think about what Jesus meant when he said his followers must deny themselves and take up the cross. I think we often misunderstand these words and trivialise them. We may think denying ourselves is about not having a second piece of cake, or not having the first piece even. We might think denying ourselves is thinking that the worst option is always the right one. We might think taking up our cross means coping with a difficult relative or putting up with our bad leg. But what Jesus says is much more radical than that. When Jesus calls us to deny ourselves, he's literally telling us to deny ourselves. In other words, to give away our so-called right to rule our lives and give control to him. And when he tells us to take up our cross, he's saying we should be willing to accept whatever suffering comes our way because of our faith. So what might it mean in practice for us to take up the cross and to deny ourselves? Denying ourselves will mean putting Jesus first in our lives. Not just adding him into our lives or making him part of our lives, but making him Lord of our lives. This means recognising that the whole of our lives belong to him. So, for example, all our money belongs to him, not just whatever percentage we choose to give. All our time belongs to him, not just the time we give to coming to church. All our decisions should reflect what Jesus wants. Not just the big life-changing ones, but our day-to-day choices. And it means that we should live as Jesus wants us to. We shouldn't tolerate sin in our lives. Now, we may be very aware of some of the things we do that are wrong, but it's so easy to think we're entitled to allow ourselves a small amount of sin. A little bit of gossip when we want to hear about something. A little bit of anger when someone hurts us. A little bit of envy when we look at the lives of others. Following Jesus means putting sin to death, getting rid of it. We need to ask Jesus to show us where we're going wrong, to forgive us and help us to change. And for many Christians through the ages, taking up the cross has meant dying physically for their faith. And many Christians today still risk their lives for Jesus. Last week I read about a church in Damascus where a suicide bomber had come into church and 22 Christians were killed, including 7 from one family. A survivor from the family said, "We go to church, but fear still exists. Yet, even if we are afraid, we will still go." Now, in Britain today, we're not likely to be killed for our faith at the moment, but we can see that it's getting harder to be a Christian. There are lots of things we're afraid to say or do. We can expect to be mocked, either quietly or blatantly. We can be thought intolerant or outdated. We can be ignored or left out, and it can be tempting to keep quiet about our faith. But as followers of Jesus, we need to be prepared to take up our cross And following Jesus will mean making daily, moment-by-moment decisions to say no to ourselves and yes to Christ. It will mean coming to him every day, putting our lives in his hands. The detail will be different for all of us, but the command to all of us is the same. But before we decide whether to follow Jesus or not, we need to look at the rest of the passage. If we stop now, it would look like one of those films where the hero knows that there's no hope of victory. He's going to die, but he makes one last stand and urges his followers to come and die a noble death with him. That's not what Jesus is calling us to do. We're not called to follow a martyr and die for a lost cause. We're called to join the winning side. So verse 28, Jesus says to his disciples, "I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Now, he's obviously not referring to the second coming, because that hasn't happened yet. He's probably referring to a whole series of events that indicate the coming of the kingdom. For example, the transfiguration, crucifixion and resurrection, ascension, the Spirit coming at Pentecost, and the amazing spread of the gospel throughout the Roman Empire. All signs of Jesus' kingdom coming, all signs that Jesus is king. But there's even more to look forward to, because Jesus says he will return in his Father's glory with his angels and reward every person for what he has done. If we follow Jesus, we will share in his triumph and live with him in his kingdom forever. Now, I don't know if you've ever played a game called Would You Rather. The children at school used to love it, and we used to do it sometimes. You could ask them a question. For example, would you rather only eat chocolate for the rest of your life or only eat crisps? I can see everyone thinking about this. Sometimes I'd ask them a more serious question, and I'd say to someone, would you rather spend the next couple of months messing about, not working, fail your GCSE, have nothing to show for all your RE lessons? Or would you rather spend the next few months working hard, get a good GCSE that you'll have on your CV for the rest of your life? Jesus gives us a much more serious would you rather, based on what he said about denying ourselves and taking up the cross. Would you rather gain the whole world and lose your soul, or lose your life for Christ and gain eternal life? Would you rather spend your life pleasing yourself and end up losing yourself, or would you rather take up the cross and deny yourself and end up gaining life? Would you rather cling to your life and lose it, or give everything you've got to following Jesus, including yourself, and gain it? Jesus is saying that when we center our life and decisions around our own sinful longings, our possessions, our accomplishments, our identity, we end up forfeiting our life. We need to think about what it might cost to follow Christ, but we should also think about what it will cost not to follow him. Or to put it another way, as someone has said, following Christ will cost you something. Not following Christ will cost you everything. So by now, you might be thinking it makes perfect sense to choose to follow Jesus, but it still seems too much of a challenge. Or you might be realizing that you've forgotten what it means to be a disciple. Or you might feel that you're trying to follow Jesus, but you keep failing. The good news is that although it's challenging, when we choose to follow Jesus, we're not left to do it on our own. To go back to my GCSE pupils, mostly when I asked, would you rather carry on messing about, they'd say, yes, I'm going to be a plumber, I don't need RE. Occasionally, someone would say, yes, I do want to get a good GCSE, but I don't know if I'll be able to keep up with all the work. And I'd do everything I could to support them. I'd spend extra time with them, make sure they were sitting with other pupils who'd encourage them. And if they did have a bad lesson, we'd start again with a clean slate the next lesson. And if I did that, just to get my pupils a good GCSE, how much more will Jesus help us to follow him? He will be with us. He will help us and encourage us when we find things difficult. And because Jesus chose the cross, not only is he an example for us to follow, but he's also a saviour, so he can forgive us when we fall, pick us up, and help us to carry on. And not only do we have Jesus to support us, but he's given us each other. As we meet together, we can share our experiences of being disciples. We can support those who are struggling. We can encourage each other to continue following Jesus. So I want to finish with a quote which sums up better than I can some of the themes we've been looking at, and which can act as an encouragement and also a challenge to us. Walking with Jesus in discipleship is a march both towards death to one's old self and towards eternal life. It's not a stroll, but a living sacrifice, because we are not our own. But take heart, for there is also beauty in that march. One day the Son of Man will return in power and glory and in his kingdom to redeem what is broken. Until then, losing our lives on behalf of the kingdom of God is a goodbye, no matter what the price. So the question we all need to answer this morning is, what choice are we going to make? Will we be like the policeman in the exam and just opt out for an easy life? Or are we prepared to benefit from the choice Jesus made and follow him whatever it costs? Amen.